Let's turn to Matthew. Mute everything. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9. Pray then in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. All right, let's pray. Let's ask God for some help today. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, God. And Lord, I just come before you, Lord, and I humble myself, God, before my brothers and sisters today. Ask that you'd use me, God, to preach your prophetic word, God. Lord, let there be anointing, Lord, in this place. God, come and release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to this church this day. And Lord, and just draw us closer to you, God, through your word. We thank you so much, God. Lord, teach us to pray. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is how confusing it is. This is part two of How to Pray, which is actually part six of our series on prayer. Did you guys catch that? All right. And so this is going to be two of six. So we're going to break this up into six different pieces. And we've come before the Lord and we ask the Lord, okay, God, you know, what is prayer? You know, why do we pray? And now we're getting to the gist of everything is how do we pray? And like I shared last week, Jesus gave us the model prayer, right? This was the Lord's prayer. But when the Jews or when the first century Christians read this prayer, it wasn't something that you said in a period of 5 seconds, right? I mean, we say this, back in my old church, we always closed with the Lord's prayer. And this is something that we always did. And I never recognized the power that was in this prayer. You know, these guys ask him, Lord, how do you pray? You know, what's the deal with this whole idea of prayer? Teach us to pray. And then he gives him this model prayer, and we finish the first part. But incidentally, how many guys, did you guys have fun hallowing his name this week? Anyone? Was this all right? Right? No, you guys didn't have fun just trying to remember all those names that we went through last week? And I forgot like four of them already, but there's a couple ones that I just keep praying. It was so fun for me this week just to hallow his name again. Now we get to the second part, part two of this, and it starts off, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, in the Greek, the structure by which this prayer is laid out is a little different than probably what's written in your Bible, right? The structure here in the Greek is the verb comes first, okay? And so a better translation of this, if you want to sort of write in between the margins of your Bible, a better translation of this is, come, thy kingdom, be done, your will. Right? This wasn't a time for a simple prayer. You know, oh, Lord, you know, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth, you know, and good and all. This was actually a pause. And so we first, you know, when we say our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, we pause right there. And remember, the Lord's Prayer starts with worship and it'll end with worship. It starts with praise, it will end with praise. And now we get to this point and we stop everything and we just start glorifying his name. We start praising his name. You know, I mean, however long that takes you to do. I mean, you start worshiping and lifting up his name in all his many names that he's given us. And then we come to the other point, and this is when we really begin to pray, right? We start off with worship, right? And this is when we begin to actually move from praise and actually begin to move into intercession, actually begin to move into the whole aspect of praying. Right? And we start off this prayer. We say, come, your will be done. I'm sorry. Come, your kingdom be done, your will. And so how it's written here in the Greek, right? This is what we call imperative. In other words, this is a forceful command, you know? And so I feel very justified as a Korean when I read the Lord's Prayer. Right? Because Koreans, all they do is command, right? I mean, we command God to do everything, right? God, just give me this, just do this. And that's our nature, how we pray. But this is exactly what God is asking us to pray in. You know, this is, in the Greek, it's an imperative command. Come, thy kingdom, right? Be done, your will. Also attached to this is the second phrase of this part two is, right? It says, right, on earth as it is in heaven. Again, this written in the Greek is actually written in past tense. And so what it's actually telling us, right, come your kingdom, be done your will on earth as it already has been done in heaven. So that's what true prayer is. True prayer is finding out, God, what have you already done, and releasing and translating his will to be his will here on earth, right? Come your kingdom, right? Be done your will on earth as it already has been done in heaven. It's written in the past tense, in the structure here in Greek. Now, one thing we have to understand, when we sit in this place and we're asking for His kingdom to come, what we're literally doing is we are submitting ourselves to Him and His will. This is one thing that you have to be very careful to really understand. This part of the prayer is when we align our will to God's will. You know, it's not just a simple prayer. You know, in fact, I was reading a commentary on Matthew, and I was reading, actually, he was a Fuller prof, and he was writing this thing, and he was talking about when they prayed this prayer, it wasn't just something they said with their mouth, because it wasn't just dealing, I'm going to say some words, right? Not just dealing with eschatological, in other words, like toward the end times, that's what we call eschatology. It wasn't just talking about the kingdom coming, right? When the parousia, when God will come, when Jesus Christ will come in the second coming. When he's saying kingdom come, that's what he's talking about, but it also deals with moral obligation. In other words, right, the commentator was saying that we are actually living a life that is submitted to God. And so it wasn't just a prayer that we offer to God, but it was actually a life that we lived before God that was our prayer. And how many of you guys ever heard that phrase before, right, that your life is a prayer? You know, right, Francis of Assisi, you know, one of the great early church fathers, remember what he said? He said, you know, always preach the gospel. And when you absolutely necessarily have to, use words. And what he was talking about, don't just talk about it. Live this life and let it flow out of you. And in the same way, Hagner, who was writing the commentary here, he was saying the same thing. He's saying it's not just something that we look for towards the future of his kingdom coming to earth, but it's a life that we live right now. It's a moral obligation for his kingdom to come, to have a will that's totally submitted to him. And so when we come before the Lord and we pray this, it says, thy kingdom come, right? Come, thy kingdom, right? This is a forceful plea. This is a command that we offer, you know, and when we do this, when we say these kind of phrases, we are submitting ourselves under the will of God, you know, and we have totally aligned ourselves to His, right? In other words, we're talking about submission, you know, and God, you have to understand, God has a will for us every single day. You guys recognize this, right? Right? Our omniscient being, He has a will for us every single day. That's why if you come to Tuesday morning prayer, you know, and when I close Tuesday morning, I hope you're careful to hear what I pray. Incidentally, when I pray publicly, I make sure it's incredibly theologically sound. You know, I'm not going to pray some fluffy thing because I know I'm a pastor and I know that people listen to my prayers. And so when I pray publicly, I make sure it is so theologically clear. And so if you notice on Tuesday, you know, when I close our prayer time, early morning prayer time, I've been saying this for the last few months. I say, Lord, we bind our will to your will. You guys remember that? A couple of you guys that come? Okay, good. So you're catching something, right? I say this all the time. I say, Lord, I bind my will to your will. And I got this from here in this Lord's Prayer, right? Because when we say, kingdom come, right? Come thy kingdom, we are binding our will to God's will. And we are submitting ourselves under the will of God, right? Under the kingdom of God, right? We submit to his will and we align ourselves to him and him alone. You know, and this goes without saying that each of us, we want God's priorities in our life. I mean, don't we? Right? Well, I mean, we want God to come first, right? Seek first the kingdom of God. And we want to align our lives with God's priorities first. And then let everything flow from that. But how many of you guys know that doesn't really happen in our lives? Because this kind of stuff, aligning, doesn't really happen every single day. For example, have you ever, you know, I used to do this when I was younger. Every once in a while, I would sort of mess it up. But have you ever, had your jacket or, you know, most guys wear these kind of shirts. Have you ever buttoned your shirt and missed the button on top, right? And then you got to the bottom and you realize one button, you know, and sometimes if you're really, you know, like, don't really care what you look like, you actually go to school or you go to work, and then your secretary or your friends need to say, dude, what's your problem, you know? And once you don't know how to button your shirt or something. You know, before I used to actually, you know, when I used to, you remember, I was a preppy, right, back in the days. Remember the button-downs, right? Sometimes I would use this button and button it to my shirt button on the thing, believe it or not, right? And this is back in the day. I was major knucklehead and stuff. And so, you know, just totally off. You know, and when that happens, right, you misalign your shirt. And then what you have to do, you have to do it all over again. And so you align yourself. This is exactly what happens. When we don't align ourselves with God, Him first, everything else comes in disorder. I mean, have you recognized that in your life yet? You know, and unless I come and my first priority is God, and if I don't align myself with God first, Him and Him alone, it seems like everything else just sucks. You know, things that I wanted to get done just don't get done. You know, things that I just, you know, just had plans for that day just don't come into fruition. You know, so much so, back in the days, Martin Luther, You know, and these are one of these quotes that you hate to hear, right? You know, and Martin Luther used to say, I must pray 2 hours today. You know, I have so much to do. You know, I'm like, what? You know, that's, it's like the opposite of what we think about, right? But he says, I must pray 2 hours today, right? For I have so many things going on in my life. I have so much to do. And what Martin Luther would do in his study is, as he would pray to God, God would basically just omit all these things that were unnecessary in his life. In other words, God was aligning his life at that moment. You know, and this is what we need to do every single day, right? That's why this prayer is every single, right? I mean, Lord's Prayer, we'll get to it later on, but it says, give us this day our daily bread, right? Not our weekly bread, right? Our daily bread and stuff. And so every day we come to this place and he's praying this, right? And when we pray, come thy kingdom, be done your will, right? It takes into, you know, a part of this prayer that we are aligning ourselves with God's will, right? We are submitting ourselves, right, to God's plan. And we are coming in a way, each of us, we're coming into a place of divine order. This is how it goes. It goes like this. I may have taught on this before, but we enter into submission. Submission, sub, meaning coming under the mission. The mission is God's will. It could be Jesus is word. You know, it could be whatever is going on in our life. This is mission, right? It could be God himself. And we come under the mission. You know, and when we do that, right, sub meaning come under, right? You know, you get the word submarine from that. You don't have to be a genius to figure this stuff out, right? So we come under the mission of God. Whatever God has called us to do, whatever God has called us to do that day, whatever God has called us to do the other days, or whatever it may be, whatever God is asking us to do, this is his will. And we come under his will. Now, when you do that well enough, you know, and this is actually one of those first doors that we come in and people blow it all the time. You know, unfortunately, because a lot of times we don't really learn to submit. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, this would be like people, I'll just be very general, broad stroke, right? This would be people that go to church after church after church after church, that don't really find a home anywhere. They just go wherever they want to go. You know, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that, but they're not getting what church is really all about. You know, and in the same way, they don't really learn to submit to a pastor. You know, and you know, like we said before, what if the pastor sucks? That doesn't matter. I mean, that is beside the point, because you're submitting under God, right? And you're submitting under God's anointed, under his leadership. And so, right, we submit, you come under, right, the mission of whatever's going on. And then when you begin to do that, God takes you to another level. And now when you've gone through submission, you come to what we call co-mission, right? Co-meaning together with. And next thing you know, you get to do it with him, right? Whatever the mission is at hand here, now you get to do it with him, right? It's co-mission. You know, and the beautiful thing about that is if you begin to succeed in that for a while and you begin to do this with the Lord for a while, you know what happens next? You get what we call permission, right? Whatever you need for the mission, you got it, right? He gives us permission, submission, commission, and then permission. Whatever we need to get the job done. All right, and this is amazing. This is why, you know, when we're doing missions work, or, you know, we're asking the Lord to do something in our life or whatever it may be, when we submit ourselves to God's will, you know, and we know that it's God's will, and we totally submit to that, God begins to open up all sorts of things to us. And when we're successful in submitting to him, right, and then we get to do it with him. All right, this is the beauty of it all. Right, we get to walk partner, right, hand in hand, you know, right alongside the Lord Jesus Christ in doing his will. You know, I mean, aren't you, I'm thinking about this, aren't you sick of hearing how good God is to other people? Do you know what I mean? You know, I mean, you know, sometimes when I hear testimonies and stuff, and for me, you know, I always rejoice. I'm like, wow, that's great. But there's another part of me that says, how about me? You know, how about me, man? You know, how come I ain't getting healed, you know? I mean, I'm not enjoying this peace and joy in my life. You know, and I just always ask, not that I'm such a greedy person or anything like that, but I know that whatever God has in store for that person, God has in store for me too. Because he loves me, right? Like I said, he loves me more than he loves you guys. And I don't know if you guys figured that out yet, right? But it, to me, he does, right? You know, and stuff. And so this is how my mentality works. And because he loves me, God wants to bless my life. You know, and I'm not just talking about material things. And, you know, I mean, who cares about money? That's a different note. But I'm talking about things that are so true in our lives. Peace, joy, you know, righteousness. These things that God wants to deliver inside of us. You know, and this is where it comes from, right? When we submit, and then we get to do it with him. We join him in his work. You know, and then we start doing that for a while. And God starts giving us permission. You know, whatever we need to get the task done, God gives us permission. You know, whatever it takes, God gives us permission. You know, and it's not being presumptuous and stepping out. And it's nothing about that. But this is the divine order that it happens. Now, actually, Chris, you don't mind if I share, do you? I was going to talk to you before, but it's all right. I'm going to make you look really good. Don't worry about it, right? Any case, we're having this conversation with Chris back in, and this is, you know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, man, this is a great story of how this all goes together. You know, Chris just came to church, and he's been praying about going to Shanghai for his business, which would be more better for his business, or staying here in Hong Kong. And we'll have him share his testimony some other one time soon. You know, and during this time, you know, we talk and stuff, and, you know, for me, I'm like, you know, people ask me before, I never tell you what to do, right? You know, have I ever told anyone what to do? You know, I sort of hint and stuff, you know, and maybe slyly, but I, because that's not my job, right? We're all adults. You know, I'm not going to tell you, do this, do that, do this, you know. I may point to different avenues, you know, and show different paths, but in any case, I just sort of let you make your own decisions. You know, and so Chris was, you know, saying, oh, you know, this and that was happening. And inside, I was like, you know, I think the Lord really wants you to stay in Hong Kong, man. You know, and stuff, but I got to make him make his own choice, right? And so and Shanghai would have been a little more lucrative for him in his business that he's starting here. So in any case, Chris starts praying and starts really seeking the Lord, right? He's now begun to be in this place where he is submitting now, right, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And as he's submitting, the Lord begins to speak to him, you know, and he makes a decision, takes a step of faith. All right, I'm going to move to Hong Kong. You know, it may not be good for me business-wise, but I really want to grow, and this is, you know, God brought me into a church, and so this is what I'm going to do. You know, the next day, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, right? You know, as he prays, he asks God for some confirmation, and then as he, you know, now he's in Europe for this conference. This is a long story, but I'm trying to make it short. He's in Europe for a conference, and he says, okay, God, you know, this is it. I'm going to go for it, you know, but please show me. You know, and next thing you know, that morning he ends up meeting these Scottish guys, and now he's in a partnership. Is that right, Chris? Right? So all goes together. You know, now he's in a partnership with these guys, and it's even better for him than it was before. But see, God waits, unfortunately, a lot of times, or fortunately, we should say, until we submit. Have you ever heard that phrase of taking a step of faith first? You know what I mean? You know, and we take a step of faith, and then God meets us. You know, it's the most incredible thing. I can remember years ago, this is when I first became a youth pastor. You know, and as a youth pastor, you know, one of the requirements that I had to do is I had to take kids on retreat, right? Especially Korean church, right? Korean churches love to go on retreats. You know, and so every year they told me I have to go on a winter retreat and I have to go on a summer retreat. Well, I got there, I started the church in November, so we had no winter retreat. I didn't even know we were supposed to have a retreat. Remember, I didn't grow up in church, right? So this is all new to me. And so, okay, winter retreat, so it's passed, no winter retreat. And then we have a summer retreat. And so what I did is I grew up camping my whole life, you know. And so, and I know a lot of these kids had never gone camping in their life. You know, and go figure, right? We're like 5 hours from Yosemite, the most beautiful place on the earth. And these guys have never gone camping. And so I got in my truck, I drove for a whole week, and I went to every single campsite in Central California. I'm not kidding. I visited about 25 different campsites. I went through, if you know California, I went through Lake Isabella, and I went all the way up. I went up to through Kings Canyon, Sequoia. I mean, I went everywhere until I found, and I got to Kings Canyon, which was towards the end of my trip because I needed to be back home by Friday night because that's when we're having Bible study. And so this is what I would do. I would literally get out of my car. I'd step on the campsite, and I'd look up to the sky and say, Lord, is this where you want us to be? You know, and if I felt in my spirit, no, I got back in my truck, and I drove to another campsite. I did this for 7 days, well, actually 6 days. And so then I got to the new campsite, and I said, Lord, is this where you want us to be? Right? And then I didn't get a witness in my spirit. I just drove to another campsite. Finally, I got to this campsite in Kings Canyon. Right? It was called Canyon Meadows, and it was perfect for us. I got out of my truck after all this. I remember, and I haven't showered, right, this whole 5 days. You know, I'm sleeping in my truck, or I got my tent. You know, it's all right. I'm a guy. Plus, no one's with me anyway. And stuff, and so I did brush my teeth once a day, but, and so we'll continue on, and I get to Canyon Meadows, Kings Canyon. I stand in this campsite, and I said, Lord, is this where you want us to be? You know, and I just feel in my heart, this is it. And so I said, great, right? So I go back home, you know, and I actually talk to the ranger. How can I get this site? He says, you have to send in through mail, you know, a reservation. So I said, great. I went back home. I got one of my teachers, hey, take care of it, right? I don't like to do administration stuff, so take care of it. Do this thing. We send in the reservation, and the campsite is totally booked the whole summer. I didn't realize that, you know, I thought I was the only one that wanted to go to this site. Thousands of people want to go camping in this place, and it's totally booked. You know, and I'm sitting there going, but God, you said this is the place. How could this be? You know, and at that point, you start really wavering in your faith, you know. God, this has to be the place. And stuff, and so we called the ranger and blah, blah, blah and stuff. And so, you know what I did? I took the kids anyway, right? So we had like 50 kids, you know, we had like, you know, about six teachers. I didn't tell any of the elders at my church, right? I just, you know, I was praying, and God just said, take a step of faith. So I just packed up. We got six vans. We packed up the kids. We bought all the food. You know, went to Costco, bought everything, and we packed in our vans, and we left for Kings Canyon, and just hoping and praying that God would open up something for us. I mean, can you imagine? We got there. All the kids are excited. We get there. No camping spot. You know how many parents would kill me? You know, when I got back, and my pastor and the elders, you know, and I didn't say a word to any. I just said, okay, I'm the pastor. I'm the spiritual leader of this group. We're just going to go for it, you know. We went there, so we go to this campsite, you know, and sure enough, guess what? It was open. Could you believe it? It was open, right? Totally booked, but it happened to be open this one, you know, the days that we're there. So we actually get to this campsite. We unpack. We put up our tents. We had the most amazing time that we've ever had. I mean, we're talking, we would come to the meeting, and I was actually teaching on hearing God's voice. You know, and so, you know, for me, I don't want to just teach it. We want to practice it and stuff. And so I would teach these kids how to hear God's voice. You know what started happening? They started hearing God's voice. You know, one of the biggest things that people kept saying all throughout the retreat, they would walk up to each other sort of individually and says, how did you know that? How did you know? I mean, these kids were praying for each other. And they, I mean, God was showing them prayers that some of these students had prayed 5 years ago, you know, almost verbatim, you know. And you know, these guys, they don't know they're doing this. You know, I don't know, man, but I just feel like, did you ever pray this, you know? And then all of a sudden the girl would just start, you know, and stuff. And the guy would be like, whoa, I just heard God's voice, you know, something kind of cool, man, you know. And so, but this is how we learn, you know. And so, and God just began to move. You know what else happened? We get to this place, and this is, I may share this before, but it's such an incredible story. The one night that we're there, and we started ministering, and I started preaching, and right then I felt in my heart that the enemy, I literally said, I think the enemy is going to come right now and try to distract you. You know what happened as soon as I said that? You know, all our kids started really praying then. Next thing you know, standing about 5 feet behind me was this bear. You know, I mean, this big brown mama bear, right? And this bear was knocking over all our coolers looking for food and stuff. And you know what I did? I turned around and I saw the bear there. And I just said, Satan, right? You know, in other words, demon, in the name of Jesus. And I was like speaking in tongues. I was rebuking this bear. You know, I mean, we're out in the outdoors, right? And stuff. And it's like no walls, you know. We woke up this next morning and all the other campers, they thought we were a cult. You know, it's like, you know, good thing we're Asian, right? Because hopefully they just thought I was speaking Korean and stuff, but I was speaking in tongues. You know, and we just started going after it. You know, the amazing thing, though, you know, we had about 50 kids there. You know, about 45 kids, they just closed their eyes and they just prayed. They were not distracted by the bear. Because I said, the enemy's going to come, right, to distract you. You know what I did? I grabbed pots and pans because I was a good Boy Scout, right? I mean, you know, I was close to a life scout, you know, and so, you know, yeah, I was a nerd growing up. And so I took pots and pans because we heard that if you have, you know, like bears come, you have to scare it away. I took pots and pans and I started clanging these pots and pans together, you know. And so my kids woke up the next morning. They didn't even know a bear was there. You know what they thought? They thought Pastor Sam was playing devil's advocate, right? Because I said the enemy's going to come in and distract you. They thought I was trying to distract them. Right? Come on. I'm not smart enough to do something like that, you know. And so, well, incidentally, we got kicked out of our campsite for our meetings to say, you know, the ranger said, you can't meet here anymore. If you want to meet, you need to go about a mile down the road to this meadow and meet. So the next night, we go out to this meadow and we start meeting there. And as I'm standing there, you know, I end up preaching this message. And actually, incidentally, another Presbyterian group actually came to join us that just for that day. You know, so I preached this message about, I preached for about an hour, you know. About 15 minutes was anointed, right? The other 45 was just, I just did it for this Presbyterian group, you know, because I felt like they came a long way. They got to hear something, right? And so I should have just stopped at 15 minutes, you know. It would probably have been much better. And so I'm sure many of you guys are thinking that, right? These days, you should just stop. Any case, bad thoughts, right? Any case, so I'm continue on. And then we started praying, and then right then I just again step out of faith, and I just this phrase comes up in my mind, revival. I don't know what it means, right? I mean, I never really heard of revival before. Remember, I wasn't really a charismatic, you know, until this time. And then I just get the word revival, and I just started saying, you know, I just really feel like, you know, that someone has something to say, and as soon as you say it, God's going to bring revival to us. You know, and next thing you know, I'm sort of walking back and forth, and there's a student of mine that's sitting in the back, and he just got saved 3 weeks before that camp. You know, at a Friday night Bible study, his, you know, guys in our church brought him to church. He's a Chinese guy, you know, and he was sitting on a cooler. He stood up, and his eyes were like fire. It was unbelievable, you know, and so I started walking to the back because I thought I was going to cast out a demon, right? I thought he was demonized. I thought he had a demon. This is a true story. So I started walking to the back. And I'm ready to just rebuke this demon. I'm getting my hand ready, you know, to do some vulture attack on this guy. And so, I mean, as I'm moving towards this way, he gets up and he says, "Pastor Sam, I got something to say." You know, and then right then I just felt really peace in my heart. You know, next thing you know, I said, "Go for it, man." His name was Don. You know, Don started walking back and forth, just like this. Don was like an artistic guy, he was a dancer. And so, and he started preaching. You know what happened? It's like the heavens opened up. Next thing you know, the Spirit of God fell on our group so incredibly hard. You know, I mean, kids, even if you don't believe this, kids were praying and they were just falling out. You know, and they were like, I mean, they were all over the ground. They were weeping. It was just like, you know, almost like a tornado came and hit our youth group. It was absolutely amazing. You know, and this totally changed our church completely. We were never the same again. After this, actually, our youth group exploded in growth. You know, and our youth actually became pretty well known in Southern California, and as a result of this camp. Now, I say all this, and I could say a lot more, but all this to come back to this aspect of simply stepping out in faith. You know, you submit to God. You know, and whatever He's asking, you submit to God, you step out. This is where the partnering comes in. You step out, and God meets you supernaturally. I'm telling you, this has happened over my life again and again and again and again. You know, and a lot of times it was when I was really afraid. You know, I really didn't know what to do. I didn't really know what to decide upon. But I simply rested on God's character. You know, I didn't have a word. You know, I didn't know what to do, but I just simply rested on the character of God. I said, "God, I just trust you. Lord, you're asking me to do this. It's a hard thing, but God, I'm going to step out in faith." And as soon as I step out, I mean, at some point, I mean, as soon as I make that decision, God comes, right? And it's co-mission. He partners with me. You know, supernatural, the same way He did to Chris. I mean, this happens in my life. This probably happened in many of your lives. I mean, we could probably, you know, spend the next few days just giving testimonies of how we step out in faith, right? God leads us, we step out in faith, and then God meets us, right? Supernaturally, He confirms this word in our hearts. You know, and this is what we're talking about. When we're saying, "Kingdom, come," right? "Come, thy kingdom." We are aligning ourselves. We are submitting our will to God's will, right? So this is a really profound prayer that we're praying. We're saying, in essence, when we pray this, we're saying, "God, I'm going to die to myself. Lord, not my will, but your will be done." This is what we're really praying for. We're saying, "Come, your will," right? "Come, thy kingdom. Be done, your will." And when we say this, we're praying a prayer of death. Every single one of us. This is what really we're asking. We're saying, "God, I'm going to die to my will. I'm going to die to my resources. I'm going to die to my opinions. And I'm going to live for you and whatever you have in mind. I'm going to submit my will. I'm going to submit my opinions. I'm going to submit my judgment to your judgment and your will and your plan for my life." Right? I mean, do you see how rich this is for us? It's not a simple prayer that we offer to God. This is a real dying of ourselves. This is where we come, and I could recognize Jesus doing the same exact thing. Remember, Jesus said this. We could see Him later in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, kneeling before the Lord, just praying, and sweats and tears and blood are coming out. It says, "Let your will be right, not my will, but your will be done." You know, that kind of anguish that the Lord Jesus Christ was in. When we pray this prayer, we join in God's anguish. Right, we join in the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ in a way. Because we're praying the same prayer that Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. "Not my will, but your will be done." No matter the cost. No matter what it's going to make me look like. No matter what it is. Right? Because you got to understand, every single thing in our life that's worth something is going to be worth the risk. Amen? Right? Every single thing in our life that's worth something, right, will be risky. Every single one. You know, and as I share with people, this is one of the things that I, especially in terms of relationship counseling, you know, I probably told this to Jung about a million times. You know, whenever it's like, I don't know if this is good, I always ask her, hey, is head-on worth it? Hey, you know, that's what it really comes down to, right? And I don't know about this, is she worth it? If she's worth it, then she's worth the risk, right? It's the same thing. You know, the things in God, it's the same thing. Is it worth it? If it's worth it, it's worth the risk. You know, and if there's faith attached to that, whatever's happening, it's going to be worth the risk, right? To step out in faith, to put and submit ourselves to His will, right? To submit into these. Now, what I want to talk about a little bit, I'm going to take a little turn a second here. I'm going to talk about what we call the gospel of the kingdom. Because we say, right, now we understand this, right? Be done your will. We understand the will part. But when I pray, come thy kingdom, what am I really praying? What is this idea of the kingdom of God? Why don't you turn to Matthew, just a few pages before, Matthew 4, 23. I just want to give you this as a frame of reference to understand this idea of kingdom. Very important. Matthew 4:23, it says, and Jesus was going about in all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Right? Notice he was teaching, he was proclaiming, and then he was demonstrating. Right? Teaching, proclaiming, demonstrating. This is what ministry is really all about. And so he was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God in a very simple one sentence, right? There's volumes written on the kingdom of God. In one simple sentence, it's the reign and the rule of God. It's the reign and the rule of God. That's basically what it comes down to. Now, there is what we call the theology of the kingdom. This is really important. This actually has helped me tremendously in ministry. This very simple thing that there's actually another theologian named George Eldon Ladd, right? And this, in terms of practical living out your life in faith, this has probably helped me. This concept has helped me probably more than any other concepts that I've really received in instruction, right? And it's this theology of the kingdom. The kingdom of God. Listen very carefully. The kingdom of God is here, is also yet to come. You guys catch that? The kingdom of God is here right now, but is also yet to come. What I mean by that, right? The kingdom of God, when Jesus, right, when he says on the cross, it is finished, right? He used the word, Greek word, telestai. It is finished. It is done, right? Paid in full. When that happened, right, our sins have totally been, you know, as if we confess our sins to God, we are totally forgiven. You know, when Adam fell, remember we talked about this, probably a month ago now. When Adam fell, right, that dominion, that authority was now given over to Lucifer, to Satan. And now through the cross, Jesus has regained that authority again. And so now it's his authority. And so the kingdom of God is here, right now in the midst of us. It's happened. It is totally finished. But we also recognize the kingdom is also yet to come. In other words, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, right, in the second coming, then we'll see, it'll be the fullness of the kingdom. Right? The kingdom of God is here, it's also yet to come. This is why we can pray for miracles, and this is our natural world, but because the kingdom is here, the kingdom can penetrate into our natural world and bring the miraculous and bring the power. Right? This is what we have. So because the kingdom of God is here, but also at the same time, we can also pray for people to be healed. We can also pray for things to happen. And we know that they don't happen, and people die, you know, and bad things happen and whatnot, because the kingdom is also yet to come. So it's a theology of power that also gives us the theology of pain. You know what I mean? And this is the theology of the kingdom, right? This is, for me, it's so helpful for me personally, you know, because if I don't understand this idea of the kingdom of God, you know, and then I pray for people, I can get incredibly discouraged. You know, and ask all kinds of why questions. And you know, and we still do this on some level, but now I understand through my framework, my theological framework, the kingdom of God is here right now, but it's also yet to come. That's why God's people are to pray for the Lord Jesus to come back, because that's the fullness. You know, if you think about this, right? I mean, we look at suffering in our world. You know, we look at so many things that are happening around us. We look at, you know, things that are happening to little kids in Cambodia and Vietnam and, you know, all throughout Thailand. You know, I've been getting into this whole idea of sort of the sex slaves and, you know, and just trying to understand all the disgusting things that are happening in our world. You know, and we look at all this suffering, and we can pour in and give money and do these things, and this would be, a great enterprise to do that. But you know the greatest thing that we can do? You know what it is? It's to preach the gospel, right? It's to preach the gospel. Because he says the end will come, right? When will the end come? When this gospel is preached to every ethnos, right? Every ethnic group. And then the end will come. And we recognize that. You know, and I think about, you're sick of the suffering that's going around. You know the antidote for the suffering? It's when Jesus comes back in his fullness. How do we usher in the kingdom of God? How do we do that? We preach the gospel. Right? I mean, this is why, you know, I mean, you know, this whole idea of, you know, people here, you know, people ask me, are you a missions-minded church? You know, I say, that's a really dumb question. You know, because we're not missions-minded. This is just who we are. This is, missions is just part of the church. You're not supposed to be missions-minded, right? Missions is who you are. You know what I mean? And stuff. And so, you know, this is the aspect, right? If you want to see the end of the suffering, if you want to see the end of what's happening in this world, you know, you want to see the end of the abuse, end of all these things, preach the gospel. That's what's going to bring a closure to this end. The kingdom of God is here, but it's also yet to come. You know, and this theology of the kingdom, this gives us a clear idea of what's happening in the midst of us, right? It's the theology of pain. It's also the theology of God's power. All right, this is why we're coming together in the evenings, trying to come together and say, Lord, we're praying your kingdom. We're saying, kingdom come. Now, what does the kingdom look like? Turn to Romans chapter 14. Do you guys understand this part I'm talking about, the theology of the kingdom? You guys understand it? Right? I mean, I'm not doing justice to it by speaking on it for such a short time. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right? It's the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When we pray God's kingdom, when we say, come, your kingdom, what are we praying? We're praying God's rule and his reign. And attached to that rule and reign, we're praying God's righteousness, God's peace, and God's joy in the Holy Spirit. All right, we're asking, right, the fullness of God to come down here on earth. You know, and when we pray all these things, you know, and when we do this, we pray for, in this context, we pray in your life, pray in the life of your family, pray in the life of your church, and we pray in the life of your nation. All right, this is by which we come to the Lord in prayer. Now, the second part of this, I told you I'd take a little interlude, is simply this phrase, right? Pray what is already done in heaven. Lord, you're on earth as it already has been done in heaven. And this is an amazing thing. We come to this place, we proclaim, we're bringing this proclamation, we're in this place of commanding, and we're commanding right now. We're saying, come, your kingdom. Be done, your will. Now, we have to come to this realization that we need to know what God's will is. Because what we're praying for his will that's already done in heaven. And we're asking God to translate that will here on earth. You know, that's what this whole thing is really all about. You know, we must hear God's voice. Find out God's will, which has already been done in our lives, in the lives of our family and around us, and then bring it down to earth in prayer. That's what this whole, turn to Mark chapter 11. What is the mindset of someone really praying God's kingdom? Mark chapter 11. Let's read from 22. I like this passage. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. And then whenever you stand praying, goes on. Verse 24. Where I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. Now, we're not talking about a name it and claim it kind of gospel, right? In other words, you know what? I want a motorcycle. That's sort of my heart's desire. I do want a motorcycle. You know, I'm not going to say, okay, believe that I received it. Okay, so Lord, I see a black motorcycle with sort of red pinstripes. You know, it's mine. Okay, thank you. All right, that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about that you know God's will in heaven, right? Because it's already done in heaven, and because you have that knowledge that it's done in heaven, then you act like it's done here on earth. Amen? You know, I shared this story with you before, right? You know, my wife, you know, for like years, she didn't know my name. Well, actually, she didn't know my name. She just didn't like me, basically. And so it got to a point where I started praying, you know, and I was really praying. I just felt like she's going to be my wife. You know, I mean, I just like, you know, it's something you just know that you know that you know that you know. And I don't care that she can't stand me, you know, or... Right? Those are peripheral matters. I mean, really. It doesn't matter. You know, because she's my wife. And so when I would pray, I'd say, Lord, thank you for Mrs. Song. Right? Thank you for Lisa Song. You know, I mean, I'm being very serious though. I mean, I would really pray that. Because I read this verse. And God gave me a glimpse of his will, right? He gave me a glimpse of heaven, you know, and that's my wife. Lord, thank you for Mrs. Song. Thank you for Lisa. Right? And, you know, I can't wait till, you know, you finally hook it up, Lord, and stuff, you know? I mean, right, this is what he's talking about, right? You get a glimpse of his will, and then you can pray his will down, and you can live his will, even though it doesn't look like it. Right? I shared the story with you a long time ago of one of the pastors I know. You know, he had a problem with his jaw. You guys remember the story, right? I mean, he had a really bad problem with his jaw. He had this locked jaw, and it hurt for such a long time. And he was praying one day, and the Lord says, you're healed. So he goes, okay, I'm healed. You know, but every time he would try to eat, his jaw still killed him. You know, and he's like, but in his mind, he says, man, I'm healed. You know, and it's not just like, you know, like, it's not just like self-motivation or anything like that. Because he took God's word as God's word. He says, I'm healed, man. Okay, this is fine. You know, and so he just kept at it, and no matter what happened in the natural, no matter if he felt the pain, in the spirit, he said, I'm healed. One day, boom, jaw just completely, now in the natural, he was totally healed as well. You know, there was a little time frame from which, you know, whatever happened on earth needed to be translated here to heaven, but he lived with the mindset and the attitude that it was already done. You want joy, peace, righteousness in your life? You need to live that way. Has God promised you something in your life? Right? Has God stirred something in your heart? And you know it's God's will. You know what I mean? You just know it's God's will. You know, maybe I know a lot of us are praying for our parents and praying for our brothers and sisters that are not saved. Man, that is God's will for them to be saved. You know, I mean, I say that right now. He desired that none would perish. You know, and so you live and go through your life as if that person is saved. You know what I mean? And so, in other words, you don't pray with despair. Oh, God, oh, you know, you pray in faith. God, this is your will. Be done, your will. Come, your kingdom. All right, this is a total adjustment in our prayer life because we already know what has been granted to us in heaven, and in prayer now we just translate that will here on earth. Right? I mean, this goes in so many different ways. You know, when my wife and I were really thinking about coming to Hong Kong, and for me, God already had spoken to me already, and I knew that we're supposed to be here. In fact, this was a promise that from years ago, back in 1993 when I was here, I thought I was going to live in Hong Kong, you know, and I ended up having to go back home because I hurt my knee and stuff. And so, but I recognized there would be some point in my life where I'd be living here in Hong Kong. You know, my wife didn't know that. I mean, we just got married, you know. I mean, can you imagine? I probably did one of the stupidest things you could ever do. First of all, I married her while she was in grad school, right, which is put undue pressure on her. You know, and I married her during that time. And then, you know, next thing you know, we got to, you know, pack our bags and move to Hong Kong away from her family and all these things. I mean, you know, as a man, I'm like, back then I was thinking, what's the big deal? You know, I'm a stupid guy, right? You know, but women, there's other kind of emotional things going on. I just didn't recognize that at the time. And so, but I was praying, you know, and I just knew this was God's. And so, for me, actually, I was sort of got on a, like, DVD spree. you know, and I started renting all these Hong Kong movies, you know, like Jackie Chan and stuff, and, you know, there'd be like the Hong Kong skyline, I'd be like, ooh, that beautiful skyline, yeah, well, I wonder what country that is, you know, and so I sort of, you know, did these little things, which was pretty lame on my part, you know, and so, but you know, at the same time, but I knew, you know, I just sensed that, man, if we come to Hong Kong, you know, if we spent some time here, I know God would speak to her, my wife, about moving here, you know, and so I just pray, kingdom come. You know, I'm not on my knees going, Lord, please, will you please, you know, change my wife's heart? Will you please, Lord? You know, I'm not trying to twist God's arm and, you know, God, I'm going to go on a hunger strike if you don't answer my prayer. It's not like that because I know God's will. You know what I mean? And so I pray, kingdom, right? Come, your kingdom. Be done, your will. I know it's already is in heaven, and I just translate that will here on earth. So we, you know, the church brings us here to Hong Kong. We spend some time here. You know, and we made the mistake of staying in Sheung Wan. You know, it almost discouraged my wife, you know, from moving to Hong Kong. You know, the smell of the shark fin and, you know, the medicine and, you know, the seafood and stuff. And it's like, man, you know, we made the mistake of actually walking from Central to our hotel, which was out this, you know, on that way in Kennedytown and stuff. And we walked right in the midst of this whole seafood. And, man, it was hot summer, humid, sweating, and the smell and, we almost passed out, man. And then we were carrying groceries with us too, you know, and stuff. And but even beyond that, right? God still answer. You know, I'm telling you, you recognize this. This changes your prayer life. You know what I mean? Not that you don't say please to God or these kind of things, but you begin to pray in faith. And the last time I read the scriptures, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you know what I mean? And next thing you know, things are happening in your life and you can stand in that place of prayer and you say, "By I know, God, bring your kingdom. Be done your will." You know, because I already know what you've done in heaven. And now I'm praying now to translate that will that's in heaven here to earth. Whatever is going on in your life, you know, that's why you need to spend a season of your life to find out what God's will is. That's why we're having this conference. Right, we're saying, God, we need to hear your voice. You know, I mean, can you see how more important it is as we look and go deeper into the scriptures that we should hear God? We don't pray to change God's mind. Right? No one has ever changed God's mind. Have you figured that out yet? We don't do that to change his mind. Right? We pray according to his will. And when we pray in confidence, we pray because we understand what God's will is. And so we can pray with all of our hearts. Right? Because we can pray in this confidence. And we can give ourselves completely to this. You know what I mean? And we, you know, we started this year off fasting and praying because we know that God wants to build his church. Do you know what I mean? And so we don't have to come and say, Lord, please, please, please. No, we say, God, build your church. This is your will. So come, Lord, bring your kingdom here in this place. Lord, bring your will here into this room right now. You know, and it's not like it's not like we're forcing God to do something, you know, or making God or a command. We're not commanding God. We're just releasing his will that's already done, and we're releasing it here on this earth. That's what we're praying for, right? We're not trying to twist his arm. We're not trying to convince God. We're not trying to convince ourselves in prayer. You know, when we get to this point, and after we've hallowed his name, and now we come to this point and we're saying, okay, we know your will. We know your kingdom. Bring it. Bring it right now. Bring it to this place. You know, if you notice that, you know, specifically for me, when I pray for healing, when I ask God to heal people, I just say, now, let it happen. You know, and some students of mine actually took me aside one day and said, you know, you're commanding God to do stuff. I said, listen, sucker, I'm not commanding God to do anything. You know, I'm just bringing, releasing God's will that's already been done here on earth right now. You know what I mean? It's a whole other way of looking at prayer. It's a whole other aspect. And this is what God calls us to. I mean, how many of you guys would love to pray with confidence? You know what I mean? I mean, how many guys, you know, I need to step back. It doesn't mean that you just pray once and that's it, unless God asks you to do that, you know, but we continue on in prayer because for some reason, whatever's happening there in heaven, you know, and this translation of that will here on earth, we don't know how long that gap of time is. You know, it could be years. And my wife and I said, well, it could be in, what, about 3 years, you know, actually two that I really knew. It could be that long until it really happens. Incidentally, so we're celebrating our second anniversary this Tuesday. So I just pat myself on the back a little bit. And my wife, sorry. Just pray for us, please, right? And things. So any case, sorry, digress, okay? And stuff. And so, you know, and it's his will that's happening, and we just bring that will here. We don't know how long it's going to take. Do you know what I mean? But we pray until we see the revelation, see it breaking out here on this earth. Because we know God's will, right? Because we heard His voice, you know, we read the Scriptures and we recognize that. And now we pray for that will to be translated here on earth, right? Come, Thy kingdom. Be done, Your will, on earth as it already has been done in heaven. You know, what things are in your life? What promises are in your life that God has promised you, man? You know, don't waver in your faith. You know what I mean? Because you know God's will. You said, okay, bang, that's going to happen. It's a done deal before the Lord. But I'm not going to be lazy now. I'm not going to be presumptuous. I'm going to pray His kingdom come. I'm going to pray His will be done. Here, in this place, right now, whatever is happening on, whatever is going on, right? And this is how we get fervent in prayer. And have you ever sat and admired people when they pray? You know, the fervency that they had, and they pray with such sureness. It comes out of the Scriptures. It comes when the Holy Spirit begins to open your eyes to the Lord's Prayer. You know, and you've hallowed His name, and then you bring that will here on earth. And a lot of times we waver in our prayer lives, very simply, because we don't know what God's will is. Now, let's be really honest. Because it's almost like, you know, like hit and miss. You know, we hit here, we miss here, and whatnot. You know, that's why people that are true intercessors, you know, one of the parts of having the gift of intercession, right, is simply the fact that God answers your prayers. And you know why God answers your prayers more than other people's prayers? It's because you already know His will. It's like you're ahead of the game, right? You already know what's going to happen. You know, it's like if you're a gambling man, right, hopefully many of you are not, but if you were a gambling man, you know, this is where you bet everything you got, right, on black or whatever it may be and stuff. And you just bet it all because you know it's going to happen. How long that takes, that's a whole other time for another sermon, right? That's something else. But whatever we have, we pray these purposes and we seek God and He releases what's already been done here on earth. Amen? Let's close our eyes. When we command God's will to be done and for His kingdom to come, we are submitting ourselves before Him and trusting His wisdom, His goodness, and His character to bring the best in our life. I want to spend some time today. I want to pray this type of prayer today. Now, we're going to do a little quick exercise in hearing God's voice, okay? I'm going to ask the Lord to speak to you, each one of you, about something in your life that you need to be praying for in this way. Maybe a promise in your life. Maybe a promise regarding your husband, regarding your grandparents, your parents, your children, relationships, siblings. It could be many different things. But something that you know is God's will in heaven. And now we're going to pray God's kingdom and translate that will from heaven to here on earth. So Lord, would You speak to Your people? Or Your word says that Your sheep hear Your voice and they follow You. God, we're just dumb sheep. We just want to follow You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus.